This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned, you're talking about luck right now, and I want to hear it because, you know, we hear lots of bad stories about COVID and all that sort of stuff at the moment. So hit me with that good news. Hit me with that luck.
This is national news about a Canberran couple, actually. There's two people.
Yes.
Now, I mean, I can't go into any more detail than this article has because I don't know the facts, but someone in Canberra last night, apparently, because this is when this was written, but a Canberran couple from Belconnen won $20 million in the
Hell
lottery yesterday.
Yes. Fantastic.
So sick.
That is awesome.
Not only did they do that, but they also entered the Power Hit, which I have no idea what that is. I don't really go onto the
It's the better version of our radio station. It's Power Hit 104.7. It's a boosted version of our station.
Yeah. And then Slump Hit is the one that's worse than us. We're right in the middle. We're the Goldilocks of the radio station.
It's fine. Yeah.
They also entered Power Hit, which means that they scored Division 2 19 times.
What?
Yep.
So what is that?
Take as long as you want to process that. That equates to, so they won $20 million. And then they also won Division 2 19 times, which meant they won an extra $350,000.
Good on them. That's great news. That is fantastic news. You want to see these sorts of things happen to cities that are in lockdown at the moment. So when you hear that news, yes, you go, good, it's somebody in lockdown, good.
Exactly right. And then they are in lockdown. And the guy, apparently they were both working from home, didn't answer the phone call a couple of times. The Powerball called them a few times. And the guy's like, who's calling me? This can only be bad news. I'm not going to answer it. Eventually answered it. Hey, you've just won $20 million and also $350,000. So congratulations, well done.
This is Power Jamesworth Ball, and I'm here to tell you that you have won $20 million. Well done. Yeah.
I've got some good news and some bad news. You own $20 million. You also have to now run the Powerball. I'm broke.
It's a Willy Wonka type situation. You get the factory and also the money at the same time.
This guy said that he was randomly laying in bed a couple of nights ago and some numbers randomly just popped into his head. And he was like, I never buy a lottery ticket, but they randomly popped into my head, went and bought it. Obviously, it's worked for him. I've got the numbers here. Do you want to try and if you can guess two out of
seven.
If you're going to guess two out of these seven or eight, actually, no, that's not fair. Four. You've got to go 50-50.
I'm going to come in swinging straight away. Powerball was eight. Was the Powerball eight?
No.
Okay.
Powerball was 10, though. Close.
That's a fail. Okay, so two of the other numbers. What about 12?
Yeah, give me two.
12 and 18.
12 is one.
12 is one.
18. 12 and 17. So that's not even close to how the Powerball works.
No, but yeah.
This is how you and this guy are different.
P. Jamesworth Ball isn't ringing it up anyone going, close enough, you've got $20 million. Well done.
Yeah. What's that, 17? Well, we had 18, but you know what? You were good enough.
Yeah, I'm just in a good mood today.
I would never usually say this because it's usually someone in Queensland or Western Australia or Sydney or whatever. But because this is a couple from Belconnen, I'll say this. You just won the lottery twice.
Twice, yep. And one of the lotto wins was technically like winning it 19 times. So you've won it
You've won it 20 times. Here is my advice to you. Act like you just won the lottery 20 times. Be very, very cautious because you have just gotten something that people aspire to get that lucky in their entire lives, never happens. It's happened to you twice in the one go. I am going to say to you, essentially cover yourself in bubble wrap and carry on as such.
Just walk a bit slower.
That kind of luck,
slower than you normally would. Yes, I see what you're saying.
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. Maybe check both ways when you cross the street.
Yeah.
Maybe don't go outside in a thunderstorm. I'm saying that you have been very, very lucky. And that's it. I don't care about the rest of Australia,
My general attitude towards this, if you're the couple from Belconnen, is let the good times roll. Apparently, you guys have nothing but luck, and that is absolutely fantastic to discover.
You'll be able to cover all of your medical bills.
It's taken you so long to discover how lucky you are, because it's never going to end. Let the good times roll. So you said that these numbers popped into this guy's head randomly.
Yeah.
Is he a big lotto player, or is he...
He says, I never play lotto.
God, the lotto must
I don't buy lottery tickets that... Actually, he doesn't say I never bought them. He says, I don't buy lottery tickets that often, which means he buys them once a week.
The lotto absolutely must love it when people say that. I don't play it that often. The people that go, oh, I play every week and I've never won. It's been 45 years and I finally won 10 grand. The lotto like, shut up.
We'll give you an extra $5 million. Shut up.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned's in his apartment in lockdown. I'm here in the studio. Now, Ned, did you leave the apartment yesterday? Do you have any errands you needed to run or anything like that?
Didn't have any errands. Went for my hour's walk.
Perfect.
Which was great. Lovely getting out in the sun. It was beautiful.
No, needed to know that because what I've noticed as of yesterday is we can officially welcome our dear old friend Hay Fever to the year 2021. Thank you very much for being here, Hay Fever. Would love to have you piss off forever, but happy to welcome you back. Trying to look at the silver linings of just knowing that summer's closer. That's what this does for me.
Good weather's on the way.
When my eyes are itchy, when looking at the world makes my eyes have an allergic reaction to Earth, I go, summer's on the way. Fantastic. We'll be able to drink beer in the sun very soon.
Yeah, it really doesn't seem like you were built to last. No, you weren't given a favorable model of body.
No, I really
one that just every when something's in the wind, you're.
Well, the great news is that I have such a bad reaction to hay fever that I feel like I can be like the canary in the mine for people who just have mild hay fever. Like, maybe they haven't even felt it yet, but I can tell you, as of yesterday when I went for my daily hours walk, I actually felt like I physically felt like I got smacked in the face with pollen. I think I walked through like a cloud of pollen because it went straight under my mask into the back of my throat, and I was like, okay, there we go, there we go.
And it's really encapsulated in there. Once gets in your mask, it's locked in. It's here to stay.
I just really sealed in the flavor. It was... Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. You and I had almost the exact opposite days because I walked past a bunch of cherry blossoms, which looked beautiful, and there was like bees buzzing around. And I like literally took my mask down and like leaned in and sniffed them. And I was like... this is so nice. It smells like spring. The bees are like... So I was like leaning into flowers going, oh, this is great. I love this. And you're just walking around with a mask on, still coughing to yourself.
I could not believe it. And that's really, I mean, this is the exact scenario that's in that Simpsons episode where Lisa's trying to skip through the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was you. You got away with it scot-free, and I was Lisa. Every time I was looking at a nice flower or an animal flying by. But this is the other thing I saw yesterday, right? A guy was going for a bike ride, and I saw this on the GDE, and was just getting bombarded by this magpie. It was the first it was the first time I'd seen it so far this year, and it was just wasn't making contact. But this guy, by the way, obviously an experienced cyclist, because he wasn't even looking around his shoulder. He was like, I'm just going to get through this. It'll leave me alone eventually. Yep. It was amazing. Yep. And so then I thought, maybe nature kind of hates us. And then I noticed that because we're allowed to meet out in public for like non-organized recreation, picnics, that kind of thing, this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, 90% chances of rain. And on Saturday in particular, 20 to 40 mils expected. And so I'm like, the first time we're allowed to socialize even a little bit during lockdown, nature's gone, I don't think so. No way.
This is more than fake spring. This is spiteful spring.
It's spiteful spring. Nature hates us.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Taking a little bit of a look, obviously, we are hopefully looking at, I was seeing it on the news this morning, discussions about reopening, what that's going to look like. We're going to get through a couple of months while we're all waiting to get vaccinated. Then we hopefully will have a great summer. That's what we keep being promised. That's what we keep hearing. So let's see how we go with it. But while we're talking about reopening up, we can take a look at some of the countries that already have. Obviously, the UK had a Freedom Day over in America. They've just sort of progressively done it. But they're back to pretty much full capacity over in the US right now. They're dealing with Delta outbreaks and all that sort of stuff. But they're not slowing down. And one of the things that is back in the US in full force are the bright lights of Broadway. My friend, Broadway is back. Theatres are open.
Broadway's hit the stage.
Shows are on. Even Springsteen's taken back to the stage in Broadway. So
everyone wants in.
It's all happening. But... it is in our new COVID normal reality. And what I mean by that is shows have been condensed to be a little bit quicker. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, for example, has gone from being a two-part, five-hour show to a one-part, 90-minute show in what can only be described as maybe what they should have done from the very beginning.
Yeah. Are they talking quicker as well as doing something else?
No, I think they've cut big parts of the show out, and they've basically made it into the one little... you can do it in one night. You don't have to come back twice. For Harry Potter fans, that'll be a big disappointment, but for people who are just casual fans like myself, probably the only way I was ever going to see that would be if they trimmed some of the fat, which they've done. But that's not all. That's not all. And here's the part that I'm nervous about, and I think we need to take a look at this example and go, let's not get crazy. All right, let's not get carried away when we're opening back up. At Broadway, they have removed intermission from shows. So there is no intermission anymore in Broadway shows as part of keeping people around for not a second longer than they need to be in order to see the show.
And not congregating in the lobby and stuff.
Not buying snacks, all that kind of stuff. Intermission gone. The reason I'm saying we need to be careful about this is because that would be for you and I, Ned, like taking the songs out of this show. We would have no break anymore. Yeah. It would just be an onslaught for 3 hours of you and I talking. And we can't have this. I get that we don't want people here for any longer than they need to be. But I just cannot imagine a world where we don't get a little break. Every 3 minutes, we don't get a little break. So
that's true.
These Broadway actors are going to have to perform for 90 minutes straight with no break in the middle. What is the world coming to, my friend?
I will position this to you. I agree. That's a lot. That's too much to ask, and it's a lot to undertake. But if they've cut down 5 hours to 90 minutes, if you and I did this without any songs, we could bang this out in 20 minutes.
Oh, my God. You're a genius.
3 hours down to half an hour. We're
done.
This
is why we need all sorts of different opinions when it comes to working out how we're going to get out of COVID, because you're a genius, and I'm now following your directives.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh. There is a statistic that I've seen that's actually scared me, and it's to do with Zoom. Now, a year and a half ago, we were all forced to understand what Zoom even was.
I didn't know.
Me neither. It's been a thing for a while. I honestly, and I don't mean to besmirch the good name of Skype, but like, they had a 50-point lead.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, no.
They were the only... If you asked me to name a video call service, I would name Skype. That's the only one I knew about.
I am happy to besmirch the good name of Skype, because I was saying this a year ago. I was like, Skype have had, not a 50-point lead, a 10-year head start on this pandemic, and their video service was almost like near on one of the worst ones to use. So I was how have you guys stuffed this up this badly?
It's the one that I never hear people using. Yes. No one's ever like, do you want to just jump on Skype? It was kind of funny to see like people try and figure out Zoom as well. Like older people who like have gone off at me my whole life for playing video games and always being on my phone, seemingly came in pretty handy when the pandemic
started.
Can't
get enough of it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it led to people trying to figure out Zoom. So muting yourself was obviously a big thing. Then people have discovered the virtual backgrounds where you could put stuff behind you. You can do filters on yourself. It's all very, very fun. But a bunch of bosses were surveyed. And apparently 1 in 4, so 25%, have fired someone due to something going wrong with their Zoom call too many times.
1 in 4. Like,
1 in 4, 25% of bosses have admitted that they have fired someone because of like they were muted and they couldn't figure out how to unmute themselves. They couldn't get rid of a virtual background. They had a stupid filter on and it was distracting. They couldn't get to Zoom calls. Just apparently something around Zoom etiquette that has led to a quarter of bosses going, sorry, you're out of here. Bye.
That is, I find that so hard to believe, and I'm starting to think bosses are trying to sound all big and tough. I think that's 1 in 4 bosses wish they'd fired somebody because of bad Zoom. Really? We reckon that's actually happened. That's amazing.
50% have moved responsibility for setting up calls to another staff member.
Okay,
half and half have been like, all right, Jerry, you don't get it. You're not on anymore. I'm sorry. 40% have given an informal reprimand. 38% have given a formal reprimand. 33% have removed a staff member from a project. So, like, sorry, you're done. And then 24% have fired a staff member.
Yeah.
How insane. I imagine being fired for like, I just can't, because remember that there was that guy who was like in a court proceeding or whatever and he couldn't get the cat filter off his face.
Like, I'm sorry, I'm just a cat.
That's hilarious. We wouldn't have had any of those videos of people going around getting fired because of it.
I you know what I feel bad for? That you could work in like a, say, let's, I'm trying to think of something super obscure. You could work in like a potpourri warehouse, like a warehouse that only sells potpourri, and all of a sudden, part of your job is now essentially being a broadcast technician. You have to make sure that you're ready to go live from your own house with video, and all of a sudden, you're an expert potpourri designer, and now you have to be good at video conferencing as well.
Yeah, tech design is something you need to do.
No one was ready for this. If they're not teaching video conferencing from now on at business school, missing a huge chunk of the pie, quite frankly.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Lovely to have your company this morning from your apartment, but even better in a way, because right now you are sort of in that apartment just looking at me through an iPad screen, and I'll tell you, it's important because I need your full attention for this. We're going to get into a bit of an investigation as to something that is tearing the internet apart. There is a lady on TikTok who is getting ready to leave her house, and her dog has apparently said, "Where are you going?" Spoken in Scooby-Doo style English, like basically has said, "Where are you going?"
Not perfect pronunciation, but you're damn trying your hardest.
And
so I mean, if you're telling me this, then you can obviously clearly kind of understand what he's saying.
I'm not gonna taint the jury here but my opinion I will make clear after you've heard the dog saying, where are you going? Okay, so
does he say it like Scooby-Doo? Is it, well, I mean, yeah, just play it for me.
I'll just play it for you. We can discuss after. Have a bit of a listen. This is the dog asking his owner where she's going. She's clearly, she's got the handbag, she's ready to go. The dog says, where are you going? Okay, now the thing I was going to say that I didn't want to taint the jury, if I hadn't told you that the dog was saying, where are you going, I don't know if you would have got that from that. I think once you hear that somebody says, where are you going, is what he's saying, you go, oh, yeah, I can kind of hear that.
I can kind of get there.
I don't think you would get there without me telling you first what I think the dog is saying, so that might make the whole case fall apart, but have a listen.
Give me again. It's saying, where are you going, in the same way that your car would say, where are you going? not really. I mean, kind of, but you're exactly right. If you hadn't told me, hey, this dog is saying something, I would have just thought it was like a dog yawning, going like, oh.
Well, and this is the other thing that could take the jury potentially with this investigation. Yeah. It's a husky. And so they kind of just make these sorts of weird noises all the time.
They just go like, oh.
It's like a weird thing between like a howl and a bark. They just sort of, they're like taking their vocal cords for a stretch. They're like, ah.
Just
one more time.
The whole range.
Have a listen.
It does look, I will be honest, it does sound,
it sounds vaguely
like you're saying. It by no means is it a Scooby-Doo, because a Scooby-Doo would be like, where are you going?
That's a good point.
He puts in a fair amount of effort.
Look, one last time, because I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me hear it again. Yeah, go again.
You know what my favorite part of this is? This is probably what's happening in a lot of offices right now, where they're trying to get to the bottom of important things. Every time I'm playing the clips, Ned's like, let me hear it again. Okay, let's go again. But because of the delay, when I play it, you're talking over the top going, let me hear it again.
Okay, wait, ready? I'm going to say, let me hear it again, then give me 3 seconds, okay, all right? Go. Let me hear it again. Beautiful.
There we go. Yeah, fantastic. You know what? Not a talking dog. Let's get real, guys.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Just quickly, there is an FTC, so the Fair Trade Commission over in the US, investigation into a beloved problem that we all enjoy making fun of on the internet, and that is the constantly broken soft serve machine at McDonald's. It is now actually, according to reports, under an official investigation as to why these machines keep breaking so often. I don't even know what that investigation would be, because the only people that are getting, like Fair Trade Commission, the only people that are being ripped off are Maccas themselves, because they can't sell you soft serves while that's happening. Like, it's not like somebody bought a soft serve and then can't get one. Like, what's happening is you just can't buy it. Like, you're not hanging over any money.
I saw a conspiracy video a while ago on TikTok, so please, I don't know if it's true or not.
Oh, here we go.
Apparently the company that make the, and I don't even know who they are, but the company that make machines for McDonald's only service McDonald's, and apparently they make the machines so they break down, so they have repeat service, so that they can come and fix them. Otherwise, they would have no source of income.
Yeah,
they
right.
They make them kind of faulty. Maybe that's what they're looking into.
Well,
maybe someone saw this TikTok.
Very much a conspiracy. I don't have anything to back that up. Fair Trade Commission's job for them right now, if you'd like. I can do it right now. Because I have had mates that work at McDonald's and tell me why this happens all the time. It's because they need to clean them.
Yeah.
So they
can't
just
be bothered booting it up again.
If you look at it, you go, often the sign won't say it's not working or it's broken. It'll say it's out of service, which is like when a bus is driving and it's got out of service on the display board, you don't go, geez, that bus is, it's a second
time from
blowing up. How is that working? It's just out of service. So they have to clean the machines. This report, I have a funny feeling, is going to be over in about 3 seconds when somebody goes, we just have to clean them sometimes. They use milk. Yeah. Like, they have to actually be cleaned. Like,
they have to be cleaned pretty significantly.
I just think this is going to be quick investigation, which is why this dovetails perfectly into the next thing I want to talk about, which is an investigation the internet's done all on its own to another very important McDonald's question. What the hell is Grimace? And there has actually apparently been an answer. Apparently Grimace is a tongue or a taste bud.
Not in my books.
He's actually
a sentient beanbag to me.
I didn't want to know that Grimace was a tongue or a taste bud. That's kind of...
Let me have a look at Grimace.
Oh, God. People are doing a deep dive on what is Grimace. Like, is he just like a burger-loving alien or what?
Oh, I was going to say, what's wrong with Google? I typed in grimace and it was like an expression usually of pain, disgust, or... And I'm like, oh, that's right. Grimace is a word as well.
I was going to say, not what's wrong with Google. What's wrong with your brain? That's what I actually want to know.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, right now, I am here to tell you how scientists think that dogs can read minds and how I'm here to tell you they can't.
Okay, now, so you've got the scientific study first and then you're going to do the Ned deconstruction of it after.
I'm here to tell you, I'm here to disprove it.
Okay,
now,
give me the science.
They've tested the theory of mind on a bunch of dogs. A bunch of scientists in Germany have done it, which is the cognitive ability to understand others and their behavior.
Okay.
So essentially reading minds. It's insane. Like, we can do it because we are the most evolved species on the planet, I would assume. But
there's no praise like
animals. Well, I just praised 7 billion people at
comparing
once.
Comparing our species to an armadillo in its intelligence. Yep. Cool.
Yeah.
I'll
think
that,
we do win
it's
that.
Fair enough.
But for an animal to do it the other way is honestly kind of crazy. Obviously, they have defense mechanisms, so they're like, oh, that's hot, or like, oh, that looks like a predator. I'm going to run away. But for them to like actually figure out and understand our behavior is pretty crazy.
It's
what always, they've done is essentially...
Always incredible when this happens with animals, though. It's like, they just float around, but did you know that seahorses can also accurately predict lotto numbers always, every single time?
Yeah.
They just can't communicate it to us in any way, which is annoying.
It's a real shame.
When I find out stuff like that about animals, I'm always amazed. Like, dogs can apparently smell certain cancers. Like, that's incredible.
Yeah. It really is insane. Yeah, they've got a COVID dog sniffing squad or whatever.
Amazing.
It's absolutely... What they essentially do, the test is, like, it's a treat. It's being given to a dog. And then it's, like, during the treat, the participant, the human, will, like, if they accidentally drop the treat, the dog will be more hesitant to pick it up because it knows that the person made a mistake.
Oh.
When it's handed to them, they go like, oh, cool. But if you like go to hand it to them, drop it, and then pick them up again, they'll be like, oh. Or if you drop it and it lands in front of them, that's my very, very basic understanding.
So essentially, at the end of the day, they can, through body language, interpretation, all that stuff, work out when we've genuinely made a mistake. Or we're trying to trick them, one or the other.
Because they do still go for the treat, but there's a little hesitation of like, I know you didn't mean to do that, so maybe I shouldn't go for it. Here's where they're wrong. And I'm sorry, because they've set up a cool little partition board that has plexiglass and ramps and stuff on it. But when I tread on my dog's tail, which is as infrequently as I would like it to be, is almost never happens. But when it has happened, I meet him immediately like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, bud, come here.
Yeah.
And I try to give Tex pats and cuddles and stuff. And honestly, this is furthered by the point that he's deaf. So if he can read my mind, he should see my body language, see my face and go, oh, he didn't mean to.
He didn't mean to step on my tail.
Every single time I do it, he's like, the look I get is, first of all, what did I just do wrong? Why am I such a bad dog? Why have you injured me? Then the second one is, no, what the hell's wrong with you? What's the matter with you? I didn't do anything. I was asleep and you just trod on me. You're a real SOB, you know that? None of them are like, oh, you obviously didn't mean to do that. I can read your mind. I can see your body language. No stepping on tails was meant to happen.
This was 100% accurate. And I mean, I'm glad a bunch of scientists aren't just out there kicking dogs to work this out. But when you accidentally step on a dog's paw, it looks like how could you betray me like this?
What have I done?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Oh, you got some big news for you right now from the music world. The music world has produced some big news for us this morning, overnight. Big announcements. Are you ready, Ned?
I am ready.
For the first time in 40 years, ABBA are making brand new music. There you
That's
go.
Exactly right.
It is happening.
ABBA's back, baby.
Ah, fantastic stuff. This is going to really, really distract all of us quite nicely from just the absolute shit show that is COVID. This is fantastic news.
I'm so excited. I love ABBA.
Oh, ABBA is just kind of one of those things where you just have it intrinsically as part of, because I think everybody's parents were so into ABBA, or their parents were so into ABBA. So it's like just ABBA was around, and then we've got all these remixes that come out of ABBA's songs, so you sort of get into the whole, give me a man. That's like a remix of that. Last year.
Came out with Hung Up.
It's a non-stop thing going on, and they're back, with some brand new music. Would you like to hear some of the brand new music, Ned?
I would love to. This is the thing about ABBA, and I think this is why they stuck around so long. It was like one of the only bands or groups that your parents liked that actually like produced bangers. All of their songs were actually sick. I would love to hear what it sounds like.
A lot of my parents' bands, it's always like, well, you had to be there. ABBA, you didn't have to be there.
No,
you could just enjoy it now.
Here's their brand new song called
I Still Have Faith in You.
It's a lot, little bit like Thank You for the Music.
And now, let me be clear. I'm about to fade this down because now we have to get into the nitty-gritty of what is actually happening. Now, ABBA are going to release a new album, 10 new tracks.
Okay.
No problems there. Sure. First time in 40 years they've got new music. They've been in the studio together, all four of them. Incredible. This film clip, though, when you watch it on YouTube for I Still Have Faith in You, you might go, geez, they haven't aged a day. This is absolutely incredible. And yes, it is absolutely incredible, and it's absolutely not them. So what's happening is ABBA are actually putting on motion capture suits and are releasing music videos with CGI versions of them from back in the day that I'm telling you, I'm here, and I'm very snobby with special effects and stuff. Look photorealistic. Like, it looks like they're still this age now, and they're going to do a concert Tupac style with the hologram, except it's not going to be them as holograms. It's going to be their avatars that look young like they did back in the day performing this concert.
Surrogates.
Yeah, they're going to make a custom-built arena, and they're going to have a 10-piece live band, but then their avatars are going to do the concert.
I don't know if this is the way to go. I don't know if... Like, Tupac's thing was incredible because he's been dead for so long. If I know that ABBA are all backstage just in little, like, suits dancing around, I'll be a little less... It's a little less magical I know they just don't want me to see them as old people. I know they're old.
This is as close to essentially doing a world tour via Zoom as is possible because I don't think they'll be backstage dancing live. I think this will be all pre-recorded and they'll just play a track that is them dancing on stage.
Of course.
And people will flock to see this. Like, they will pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to see this show that is literally watching a bunch of screens, probably.
I reckon ABBA, they're grandkids probably at this point. No disrespect, I love them once again, but I reckon their grandkids at this point have seen, like, the Travis Scott, the Ariana Grande Fortnite concerts that are going on. ABBA approached Fortnite, and they're like, we don't know who you are. So they're like, you know what? We'll do it ourselves then. We'll put on our own digital performance that people can come and watch avatars dance around.
I was watching the behind the scenes of Avatar like a couple of nights ago on YouTube, and James Cameron was like, we just had to wait for the technology to get good enough. ABBA have been doing the same thing for 40 years. Have you seen them going, we will only come back when we don't actually have to do any work. If we can get it to a point where we basically just record an album and the rest is done for us, perfect.
We'll come back.
It's all about the...
And why wouldn't it be?
And this, for me, has answered an age-old question. If you get to the absolute stratosphere of success that ABBA got to in their heyday, how long will you be able to live off the money from that? 40 years is the answer. They're back. They're back, baby.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.